Why don't we spend a few moments with our Lord, shall we? Asking him to be very active in this worship center amongst all of us. Abba, I want to thank you so very much for your continued presence with us. We thank you that the Holy Spirit doesn't just come visit, but he lives within each of your children. And so, Holy Spirit, I know that there are some places it would seem that you're not welcome, but you are certainly welcome here. The whole of the Godhead, our heavenly Dad, our wonderful Lord Jesus, who paid the penalty for our unrighteousness, and then you, Holy Spirit. What a marvelous, marvelous God we have. So, Father, I pray that your message this morning to all of us, even as you have been raining it down on me these last couple of weeks, will bring refreshment to each of my brothers and sisters, to someone who may be new to us this morning, a person who may listen to this message online. I don't know who you might be online, but I do pray that you are blessed in the midst of what our Heavenly Father has done and is doing and will continue to be doing in all of our lives. So may his grace and may his mercy be upon all of you, family, as I ask him to refresh you, to encourage you. In the midst of this, Kathy and Ron are not the only ones that have been visited by challenges and adventures and storms these last couple of months. May you not be discouraged. May you find yourself, if you're depleted this morning, being built up, being lifted up by our wonderful, loving Father. For I ask these things in Jesus' name. Last week, I took you through page one of your notes and the first two-thirds of page two of your notes. We looked at the clarity of Father God's grace and his wonderful mercy towards us. I reminded you of how the Holy Spirit chose to remind me when Kathy first was under the influence of the Los Angeles City Fire paramedics being taken to that emergency room, that all the way from Santa Clarita to that hospital, I was being reminded of his eternal hope that has been given to each of us who are in Christ. That hope, that wonderful reason to be optimistic. Every reason because God our Father is at work in our lives that we should be positive, even about this negative that I was just learning about that night, that Kathy may possibly have had a stroke. And to be encouraged, because our great and awesome Heavenly Father, his love is ongoing, and that love is going to overwhelm the negative things that come into our life if we focus on it. Because we've been taught well about where our focus goes, our energy flows and our thinking flows. And so he was reminding me, be encouraged, Ron. I gave you Kathy as a gift. I don't know how long he has given her to me, but nonetheless, he's the one that loves her more than I do, and I love her more than I can imagine, but he loves her more. So, in the midst of that, we went to the room, the emergency room, and met with the doctors and the nurses, and we went through all those things that I shared with you last week. So I want to pick up where just before I left off, to go back to Father God blesses us when we demonstrate faith in prayer. He blesses. My goodness, does he bless with grace and with mercy. If you want to, PTL, would you say that with me? PTL. Maybe you'll want to write it down in your notes, because it stands for a positive life transformation. This event in Kathy's and my life, we're going through this together. And it is a positive life transformation for both of us. Through it all, from the beginning in that emergency room for me, to this very moment when you saw her standing before you, has been a positive life transformation for both of us. When I met her in the emergency room, those of you girls in particular, you've gotten used to her smile, that wonderful smile. And that wonderful smile is what first captured me at Campus Crusade for Christ when I first saw this lovely college co-ed across the room. And I was more enthralled with her than she was with me, but nonetheless, I won. And that smile, it was there in the emergency room, family. And when I left her, she didn't have a sense of fear, at least on her face. She had that smile when I left her and headed for home, and she was headed for the ICU. And the next day when I came back, she had her good morning greeting to me, the one that I just get so upset with usually. But I've learned, when she says good morning, don't be negative, Ron. Get rid of the ants, you know. Just say, good morning. Now, when I get to the office, the staff comes in, and Annette, she's one of those wonderful people, too, with the big smile, good morning. And I say, morning. And, I would like to know what's so good about it. She never has an answer for me, but she says good morning. But anyway, that next morning, my life was filled with inspiration because she was so very, very positive. Not because she's one of these positive thinking people impressed by some of those positive thinking, wealth, health and wealth pastors. She's just legit. She's for real. She was very positive when I walked in. Good morning, Ron. And I was very, very happy to see her up and about, and I told her, good morning. You see, if you want to be someone who inspires, you know, it's good to be always remembering that acrostic for hope, because it only comes from him. It's not something that is manufactured by human beings. If you have that kind of hope, well, it's going to wane. It's going to run away from you from time to time. But if you have that hope that I've shared with you through the acrostic, the Holy Spirit will keep it alive in you, and you will have every moment of each day, as you remember it, every reason to know that you're being blessed and that your Heavenly Father's crazy about you. The psalmist said in Psalm 34:4 in your message notes, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. And this is a passage of scripture as I'm traveling to see her that comes to mind for me that says, I prayed to the Lord, and I was praying to the Lord, as I've told you many times. As you read the scripture aloud, it is he speaking to you. It's not print on a page. It is him speaking to you. He is uttering his words out to you. He has a message every day that you're in his word for you. He wants to love on you through his inspired word, his God-breathed out word. It is his intent every day to bring his word into your life that you might be encouraged, that you will see why you need to be hopeful, why today is a day to be positive, because your Heavenly Father is full of encouragement for you, full of it for each and every one of you. So I prayed to the Lord. Ron prayed to the Lord, and he answered Ron. He came into my life as Jehovah Nissi. He was helping me to see that Jehovah Nissi, meaning my victory. He is my victory. He has given me victory over sin and evil and death. I am his son, adopted by him. He is my victory. And he made me remember, as most of you know, Jehovah Jireh. You know, he is there to provide everything I need. And he's strengthening me with peace and with joy. And he's reminding me of the fruit of the Spirit that he's given, not just me, but each and every one of us who are in Christ. That marvelous love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, forgiveness, humility, meekness, you know, coming alongside others and helping them. He's there reminding me of these things. How is he doing that? Because I've meditated on the scriptures day and night. I've taken the scriptures and I've placed them in my heart through meditating on them, chewing them up, memorizing scripture. These things come about because he wants to bring his grace into my life and show me his mercy is alive and it's real. And as I go into Kathy's ICU room, I can be that encouragement and hope to her. He was reminding me on the trip that he is Jehovah Ra'ah. He is our healer. And I didn't know if he was going to heal Kath, because healing comes in different ways. It doesn't have to be a medical healing. His healing might be that it brings a family together. It might be that you get to speak into another person's life. And you can imagine my very quiet little wife who just walks up here and yanks a microphone away from someone on the stage being quiet. And she knew her nieces or her nurses. She knew them by name. And they knew that she loves the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, they felt so comfortable with her, especially the male nurses. I don't know what's going on with that, but they would come in on the night shift and spend moments with her. Oh, yeah, they're doing this. They're fixing this over here, and they're fixing that over here. And whoever of you shared the gospel with someone, maybe they'll yet come to faith in Christ. They came to watch the Dodger game, and they all knew that the color of her toenails is Dodger blue. So, interesting things took place there, you know. But our Lord was our wonderful Ra'ah, our shepherd, our wonderful person who's there to guide us. If you look at 1 Peter 5:7, you'll recall last week I pointed out that casting all your anxieties on Jesus, taking all of your burdens, all those things, Ron, that are, is she going to be okay? She has a mass. Is the mass cancer? What's going to take place, Lord? I mean, this is my girl. This is my best girl. This is my wife. This is my lover. This is the mother of my kids. This is the grandmother that my grandkids are crazy about. Not so much Papa, because Papa used to give corporal punishment. You know, I went to my 6'6" grandson who just turned 19, and I said, "Do you remember, Jalen, when I gave you some corporal punishment?"
"Yeah, I do, Papa."
"Why don't you just forget all about that?" But casting all your anxieties, that meant entrusting them, giving them to him, and trusting him to take care of it. And I did that probably 1,000 times over the course of Calf being in the hospital. I just kept giving it back over. I kept taking it back, giving it back over, sneaking it back, giving it back over. The psalmist said in Psalm 52 or 55:22, you remember last week, again, entrust, cast your burdens on the Lord. Roll your burdens over on him. He can handle it. He really can. There's no sense hanging on to it yourself. And when you do that, that fruit of the peace, or that fruit of the Spirit, is peace. He gives you that eirene, that special kind of peace. And he gives you that special kind of, it's not, oh, whoopee, good, but joy that fills your heart, that spiritual joy that comes. It's for real, gang. I am a testimony to it. It happened for me. So the action step last week, and I hope you did it Sunday afternoon. I hope you picked it up on Monday and carried it through the rest of the week, and that you were a doer of these passages of Scripture, taking these things and letting the things that are troubling, the storms, the things that hurt, let them go, give them to the Lord, and trust him. Visit that hope and trust in him. So here we are. Next subtitle, Father God's Mercy and Grace in Surgery. The family, my family, gathered on July the 8th. July the 8th, we were supposed to be at the pool at Kanapali Beach Club on Maui. But no, we were in the ICU with this lovely lady and spending time with her, because that afternoon she's going to go into surgery. Mindy and Mike and their two girls, they're on the road that morning, early in the morning, coming to the hospital from up north, San Ramon. It's going to take them 6-7 hours to get there. But they want to be there before she goes in. Julie, coming from what would be an hour away at 5 o'clock in the morning, coming over on a Saturday from Orange County, it's going to take her a couple of hours and all that heat and traffic and so forth. But here she comes. And so Kathy is surrounded by her family. And she can see that her illness is bringing family together, and they're all expressing love. They've been showing her love by calling her every day since the time that she entered into the hospital. We see our daughters doing things that we've never watched them step forward and do, but they're running ahead of us. They want to make sure things are being taken care of. The doctor, when he came in and introduced himself to Kathy, the one that would do the surgery, he came in, "I'm not a Kaiser doctor." Well, that was a problem in our minds, because we're Kaiser patients. Will they let this guy do what he does so well? And the reason we knew he does what he does so well, because Mindy, being a former nurse, she went online, she discovered this guy, she found he was a Princeton grad, that he'd done this kind of surgery multiple times. Everybody gave him like a Yelp thumbs up kind of thing, 5 of them, and he did all of his medical training through USC. He was just, you know, a class AA, AAA plus act. And we're Kaiser patients. we're only going to get what Kaiser has available. but he's sharing with her what he's planning to do. It's going to be a 2.5 hour, 3 hour max surgery, and she'll be out. Now, he wants to do it Saturday morning. So we are all armed with this information, and we're kind of readying ourselves, and we pray with her. And just before we went to prayer, Rick Schertz, most of you have met Rick. He's preached from this pulpit twice. He's also one of our teachers at our couples retreat the last 11, 12 years, and just a tremendous guy. So he was there to also love Kathy and be an encouragement and so forth. So as they prepare to take Kathy in, everybody's saying they're see you soon, so to speak. And when they take her away, that's when I lose it. I'm strong up to that point, but then, okay, Ron, practice what you preach, dude. And it's like I forgot all these things that I've shared with you just for a moment. At that time, the girls and my son-in-law, they immediately came around me, and then the grandkids came up, and they were like my support. They were like my Aaron and my Hur, you know, so long as I could hold my hands up and pray, you know, there'd be victory out there. So they were building me up. But before she goes in, the doctor tells us what might happen, what could happen. So what could happen? Mike, the judge, what's the bottom line? Well, she could die. What else? Well, she might come out paralyzed. What else? Well, she could be blind. What else? Maybe she won't have any speech. Now, that would be a different kind of grace. Sorry, honey. She could have a complete change of the woman you came to know her to be. So, 3 hours became 4 hours, became 5 hours. Became 6 hours. She is going through things that we have no idea that were mentioned that could take place during the surgery. Our half-brother Jesus, James, in his letter in chapter 5, verse 16, you see that in your notes. He said to the church, and he says to us this morning, and we should take note. The prayers of a righteous person has great power as it is working. The prayers of a righteous person. Boy, I made sure that morning I went and confessed and repentant and so forth and so on. I mean, Jesus already took care of all my sins on the cross. But you know how we slip and we do things that we shouldn't, even since he went to the cross and since we embraced him as our Lord and Savior, I just wanted to make sure I had confessed and repented everything. Dr. Tom Constable, he's a professor, or was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. And I love reading his particular books on books of the Bible. And he said this, look at your notes. Evidently, James practiced what he preached about prayer. Eusebius, the early church historian, Eusebius was born in the mid-200s AD, quoted Hegesippus, an earlier commentator back at that time, who gave, Eusebius claimed, an acute account of James. Look and listen to what this man is telling us James looked like in appearance and why. He was in the habit of entering the temple alone. He was part of the Jerusalem council and was often found upon his bended knees and interceding for the forgiveness of people. You have my wife who intercedes and prays for you, as I do. And interceding for forgiveness for the people so that his knees became as hard as a camel's. Have you ever seen camels' knees? They're really knotty and so forth. Not knotty because they're not nice, but knotty. You know, they have calluses all over them. It's like my knees used to look like when I was a surfer. Oh, they were gross. His knees became as hard as camels in consequence of his habitual supplication and kneeling before God. How are our knees doing, family? I think we have calluses probably on our backside. Right? We don't like to get down on our knees. It's not comfortable. Not at all. Especially if knobby knees like me. Would you show that next picture, please? Look at those folks. Recognize anybody there? Kathy's in the operating room. My family and I and Rick Schertz, we're in the waiting room. Prayers are being offered up. Here's this group who is here. Many of them, you who were here, others of you couldn't come. You were at home and joining this group and my family in prayer for Kathy. Even someone, look over here, you know, this walker that Kathy uses presently. One of you came in with your walker and you joined in and you are praying for my wife. And the grace and the mercy of our Heavenly Father is in that wonderful operating room. It is in the hands of the anesthesiologist. This grace is surrounding the doctor and working through his wonderfully schooled mind and the techniques that he has learned to do his job ever, ever so well. Righteous persons have great power in prayer, family. I love our Sunday morning prayer group. Those who come out and pray, these righteous intercessors who pray for each and every one of you and the ministries that are taking place on Sunday morning besides, excuse me, our Father's grace and mercy was taking place because of you, because of the family, because of the prayers of these righteous people. 6 hours later, Kathy comes out. They immediately take her to have a CAT scan done. They want to see if there's any bleeds that they missed, and there are none, grace and God's mercy. And they take her into the ICU. The family has begun to go home. Mike and Mindy and their daughters aren't going to get home till 2 o'clock in the morning. But that didn't matter to them. They wanted to come. They needed to know and be a part of what was going to take place that afternoon and evening, not knowing it was going to go into the evening for Calf. So why the 6 hours? Well, you see, most of us, we think, at least I think, that a tumor is going to be something that is fleshy. You know, it's growing in the frontal lobes of her brain. And so, you know, he's going to use a scalpel and he's going to cut around it and he's going to remove it and have to watch this, that, and the other thing, because up here she also has these optical nerves and these other special nerves. And, oh, you know that they had to cut her hair. Talk about female grace. Talk about being a woman and having an in with God. Ladies who go to her Bible study, this woman has an in with God, so you listen to her. Because normally they're going to go up here and the hair is going to be all gone. Well, they just went up here and they took a little bit right up here, like where my hairline goes to. And then they pulled it back and they did their surgery all the way around. So when they put it all back and she pulls down her bangs, she looks like you had surgery where? Very cool. So girls, she's got an in with our Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father gave her grace and mercy concerning her hair. Okay? I mean, he thinks about the little things. Remember, he knows every hair on your head. I'm making it easy for him, but, you know. So, she comes out and she's in her room and I go and I stand next to her. And I don't know why it took so long at this particular juncture, but I'm really not caring. There she is and she's breathing God's grace and mercy. She's breathing. She's alive. She's still a gift from him to me. I still have her. But how much of her that I knew before she went in is really there? I bent over because her eyes are closed. Would you show that next photograph, please? And I ask her, how are you going? How's it going? And she said, in just a whisper, the way she used to talk to me before we got married, in just a whisper, she says, pain. Pain. Well, I can imagine she's got pain. They opened her up from over here all the way across to over here. And they took out something that's the size of a lemon from her brain. Next photograph, please. Hold on. The surgery was on Saturday afternoon, Saturday night. Sunday, she looked like that first photograph. She went 6 rounds with Rocky. Rocky gave up and left the ring. But Kathy's right eye and right side of her face, it looked like she'd been beat up pretty good. But, you know, you want to see the other guy. Doctor looked great, just exhausted. You see, when he went in there, her particular tumor was solidified. It was hard. And he couldn't go in just with a scalpel and cut. He had to go in with like this little tiny tool that he has that is like a jackhammer. And he had to fracture it and then pull it out by pieces and go around the optical nerve ever so carefully, pulling out little pieces at a time. He did a great job. I went in and saw her on Monday morning, and there she is. Good morning, Ron. And it is a good morning, because that morning the PA comes in, the physician's assistant. What a tremendous lady she is. And well, she can talk. She can smile. Her face isn't paralyzed. She can lift her arms and her hands. She can worship the Lord. She can lift up her legs and her feet. She's not paralyzed. God's grace. God's grace and mercy. She can see. And think about this. She sees double. She gets two of me. What a lucky person. No, it's God's grace and mercy. Well, she still has double vision. She's not so sure about the double me. That's still something that we're waiting on the Lord to see what he's going to do about it. And her balance wasn't so good, but it's gotten so much better. It's gotten so much better. Do you see God's grace and mercy? Sometimes we don't remember him in the process of these things that are taking place. When you think about having gone through a horrible, horrible experience with your mate, almost got to divorce. Was it Jesus that you gave your thanksgiving to because it was him that gave the grace and the mercy to see you through that journey up to and brought you back? And he saved the marriage. He saved whatever the storm was being brought upon you. His grace and his mercy. He so often, and I'm sorry, Father, that you get left out, you get forgotten. I hope I never, ever forget you in my daily, our daily lives. You have done magnificent. You've almost done everything I have asked of you concerning Kath. Almost everything. And her personality didn't change. She's not some monster. Now, she's still that wonderful, gracious, maybe even more gracious because of what we have been through together, but especially what you've taken her through. So we go to the doctor and we talk with him on Friday. I take her home Tuesday of that week. We go see the doctor on Friday, and after we're finished with him, basically. He's really thrilled as to how she's recovering thus far. I mean, it hasn't been a week yet. Saturday will be a week. This is Friday. And so she asks him, do you think I could do my recovering on Maui? And he said, I don't see any reason why not. And if you need me, just send me a ticket and I'll be happy to come. Actually, he said that. So, the following Friday, the family from San Ramon, they're all going to San Francisco, flying the Maui. The family in Orange County is going to LAX. They're all flying to Maui. We've got our granddaughter out in Texas, and she's flying to Maui. And we, would you show that next picture? Father God provides the great escape. And there we are, getting ready to go to Maui. God's grace And it is mercy. She just had brain surgery, family. We've taken out a lemon the size of a, well, this thing, the size of a lemon. Next photograph, please. The doctor didn't want the incision to get any sand. So one of the first things we did, we went to Whole Foods and we got a hat. And there she is in our condo. Next photograph, please. So that we get there on Friday, and on Sunday, we go to the church that we always visit, and that is Harvest Kumalani Chapel. And we went up there to worship our wonderful, gracious, merciful Heavenly Father, His Son, the Holy Spirit. And there's the part of the family that would get up in the morning and go to church with us. But look at her. She's sitting there with her patch on. And little kids are going to say to this lady, "Are you a pirate?" And she would tell them, you know, she wouldn't lie to them, "Yes, I'm a pirate lady." And they loved it. But Julie made sure, you know, I made sure we had the wheelchair at LAX to take her to the plane. I made sure we had a wheelchair to take her from the plane on Maui to where I would pick her up with our luggage. And here she is. Julie, our daughter, went forward and found a place on Maui and had that waiting for us when we stepped out of our car at the hotel. Next photograph, please. Here she is. She's up and about, smiling, having a sweet time. And that's our little granddaughter, Riley. We've gone to the Ocean, Maui Ocean Aquarium, and we spent a good part of the day there. And I got to push her around there, and just so happy that here we are. We're still on Maui, but we just have a couple of wheels that we need to push around. Next photograph, please. There's a girl, there's some of the family that went. You have Mindy on the right and Julie on the left, and then you've got next to Julie, you have Riley, and then you have Soso, our Sophia, there next to Mindy. And you have Captain Jack there with her patch. And next photograph, please. So here we are, and we're saying our goodbyes a week later to Julie and the little ones, and they're showing you the shaka. You know, that's another way for a Hawaiian to say God's grace and mercy. You know, thank you very much, we love you, and so forth. We're out in front of the hotel there at that point. Next photograph, please. And I took Kath out to breakfast at Java and Jazz, and we had a wonderful breakfast there. But thinking of God's grace and mercy, you know, she's been going around for a whole week in a wheelchair. Next photograph, please. Look here. She's got a walker. She's up, and she's walking with a walker. Now, I walk close by, and others walk close by with her, but there she is. She's up and about. Off to her right shoulder. You can't really see it because of the clouds, but there's Molokai'i in the background. We're down by the pool and so forth. But next photograph, please. Here we are, the second Sunday, and we're back at Harvest Kumalani Chapel, and we've gone to worship the Lord. Next photograph, please. This is what their ushers look like. Jackie, do you think you can get one of those for next week? You know, just a sweet, sweet church family, probably 700-800 people, just a tremendous time worshiping the Lord there. Next photograph, please. And this is the third Sunday that we're there. And to the left of the Aloha sign, who do you see? She's awful far away from someone who would need to catch her if she lost her balance. But again, God's grace. And our third Sunday to be able to worship with a wonderful church family that we enjoy when we're there. Next photograph, please. So we're on Monday, the week after that last Sunday that you saw Kathy walking on her own, that we're down at the pool and the wind is enormous. We haven't seen winds like that in years. And there's a hurricane that's 700 miles to our south, and we're out on the leading edge, and we have 80 mile per hour winds. And to our north, about another 500-600 miles, there's another hurricane passing by, and we have the leading edge of that. But we just have the wind. We have no rain whatsoever. And Kath called my attention when we were up at our room in the late afternoon getting ready to have a barbecue with my old partner and his wife, the Talbots. She saw some smoke. Now, wildfires are not new to us, and I don't mean because we live in Southern California. We had three come knocking at our back door. But because we've seen lots of wildfires on Maui. On the west side, it's very dry. On the west side, it gets rain, but it doesn't get it like it does on all the other sides of the island. And that fire is going west, which is toward the ocean, but it's going south, and that means away from our hotel. Where we saw the smoke is only a 5-6 minute drive from the hotel. And we're really not giving it much thought. Little did we know that it was running like a freight train out of control towards Lahaina Town, a town that has some 14,000 people that live in it and countless others who visit it. There's only one highway in and out, one lane each direction. And the road has been cut by law enforcement because they can't let us go that way. One, the fire's raging, and two, there are people who have succumbed to the smoke and to the fire, have been killed in their cars, and others tried to run from their cars away from this fire and were captured by the fire, and they're laying on the highway. So for days, even if we wanted to, we couldn't go to the airport because they need to collect all the bodies. But as that night progressed, now for us, I mean, this is the horrific bad thing. What I'm going to mention to you now is an inconvenience for Kathy and me. That night, the fire took out all the electricity, not just for Lahaina Town, but for all of the north side, north and west side of Maui. So that meant that we didn't have any lights in the hotel. That meant that we didn't have refrigeration for our food. That meant that we didn't have cell phone or landline service. It meant that the other hotels around us, the other condos around us, the one market didn't have any electricity or refrigeration. So we're basically going to be campers in a nice hotel until we can get a flight out. But we can't contact the airlines because there's no phone service. There's no cell service. I find a hotspot by wandering like a beachcomber out on the beach trying to find a hotspot. and hoping that once you go through all those various prompts you have to listen to, and then they tell you, oh, you only have a 20-minute wait, to wait and be able to talk with someone and see if you can get an airplane out. The next photograph, please. Well, my partner, Shane, and his wife, Robbie, they were able to get a plane out a day before us. We had to go out on Saturday night. But during that whole week, God was gracious to us and merciful. Had the wind been turned the opposite direction, our hotel and a bunch of condominiums would have all been in the path of that particular wind-driven fire. We would sit for hours, literally hours, down at the front desk where some of the folks had set up charging stations. We had a generator going for the first few days before the fuel ran out for it. And we were able to charge our phones with the hope that we would be able to use them. As it worked out, up in Shane and Robbie's room, it's on a corner, very high, and your phone would work, your cell phone would work sometimes. Very interesting. I looked at it as God's grace and mercy, looking back, the way we were able to do that. And so that night, because our food is all going bad, we took the meat that they had gotten at Costco, and we went out to the barbecue pits, and we barbecued, and we had a really sweet steak dinner that night. And we played games. I mean, my old partner, I mean, he comes prepared. He's like Chris Wright. You know, he's Mr. Emergency Man. And he had all these things, the lights that you turn and they have a hook and you hang them, and we would sit there and it gets pretty dark after a while. That's just before we had our barbecue. And we played a game. And we did this for a couple of nights. The food, we would burn it so that we wouldn't get sick and so forth. But we were just having one meal, basically, other than peanut butter sandwiches. And if I never see a peanut butter sandwich again in my whole life, I mean, it was the same way in the military. I mean, in those sea rations, they put this non-tasty peanut butter. But I don't know, maybe with the new MREs, they have something better. But at any rate, this was us getting ready to say goodbye to them, and the next day we would be able to get to the airport and on a plane and fly to Phoenix and from Phoenix home. One more photograph. On the way out, Kathy decided she had to go parasailing. She hasn't parasailed for 28 years with me, but I took that picture the first week we were there. And I just thought I'd throw it in because I wanted to lift your spirits a little bit. Looking at your notes, Father God provides us extraordinary, amazing blessings through His grace and His mercy. Get it?
Got it.
I mean, look here at the definition of mercy and grace. Mercy is, Abba Father's, withholding the punishment we rightfully deserve. Understand that, family. We rightfully deserve punishment, damnation, hell if we die before the rapture. And if we never embrace the Lord, then there's the lake of fire, an eternal punishment, torment there. We deserve punishment rightfully. But grace is Abba Father not only withholding that punishment, that punishment, but offering the most precious of gifts instead. His son going to the cross for you and for me. He goes to the cross and he takes your sins punishment. He never did anything wrong. We are the ones who are the unrighteous. He is the righteous, and he went for you and for me. His grace and his mercy brought you eternal salvation, brought you the ability to go into a deep personal experience with him every day, every single day, for as long as you want to spend with him every day and enjoy him. His grace was unsolicited, unmerited, as well as unlimited towards us. Dr. David Jeremiah, in his book, and I recommend this book, the staff and I are going through this book. It's titled Captured by Grace, No One is Beyond the Reach of a Loving God. On page 23, it says the following: mercy withholds the knife from the heart of Isaac. Grace provides a ram in the thicket. Mercy runs to forgive the prodigal son. Grace throws a party with every extravagance. Mercy bandages the wounds of the man beaten by the robbers. Grace covers the cost of his full recovery. Mercy hears the grace of the thief on the cross. Grace promises paradise on that very day. Mercy pays the penalty for our sins at the cross. Grace substitutes the righteousness of Christ for our wickedness. Mercy converts Paul on the road to Damascus. Grace calls him to be an apostle. Mercy saves John Newton from a life of rebellion and sin. Grace makes him a pastor and author of a timeless hymn, Amazing Grace. Mercy closed the door to hell. Grace opens wide the door to heaven. Mercy withholds what we have earned. We've earned damnation. We've earned damnation. God provides blessing we have not earned. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John Newton, he wrote these things, and they mean so much to me, a sinner, a wretch. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like Ron Seidel. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me. The word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we very first begun. Amen. Amen. Father God, thank you so very much for your grace and for your mercy. And thank you so very much that they are eternal, your grace and your mercy. Thank you so much that you will not rescind your grace and your mercy, and that we are eternally saved by it. We thank you for the gifts of faith. We thank you for repentance. We thank you for having met us when we said our sorries to you and we meant them, and you saved our very souls. We thank you that you could have adopted anybody, but you adopted the women here as your daughters and the men as your sons. I thank you so very much, Father, for allowing Kathy and for me to be a part of this family that you've grown up around us, these people whom we love so very much and who have demonstrated their love for us. Father, you are amazing grace, and we want to continue to seek you and have you grow us up to be the boys and girls, the sons, the daughters, who really appreciate and obey you. And it's in Christ we pray. Amen.